Well, it's so good to see you. Happy New Year.
You look beautiful.
Stay healthy. That's the most important thing. Well, let's ask the Lord to teach us. Father, we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, it was difficult to leave Daniel in the middle of a chapter and start again for this year. So, Lord, we look to you to pull it together, to teach us. And we need that, Lord. We can't figure it out ourselves, especially as we get into prophecy. We're looking forward to that. Daniel is the key to all prophecy. And we just ask that you might bless it to our hearts, Lord, and we would go home from here with some wonderful nugget of truth that we can hang on to. Lord, we just love you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So, well, you can open and follow along if you want in the scriptures. But there was a very drunken party going on. And if you've ever been to one of those, like I have, I'm not proud of it, but you understand exactly what's happening. They could just drink all their problems away. It just doesn't work that way. Well, the Queen Mother, which was probably Nebuchadnezzar's wife, called for Daniel to come because she knew her husband had used him quite a bit. But see, he wasn't even on the list. He was still calling for soothsayers and magicians and so forth to come. And look at this huge hand that had written this on the wall. They say it was as big as an ox, and it took up this huge wall. And I think that would have scared me straight. So, but it didn't seem to affect him. So Daniel arrived before the king, and he saw the holy gold vessels which had come from the temple in Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar had never touched them. But here they were, scattered all over the room, sloshing with wine, while others were lying on the floor, overturned on the king's tables. This must have brought tears to Daniel's eyes, because of the desecration, because of the holiness of these vessels. What does it mean to be sacred? Well, it simply is to be set apart for God's use. And so these instruments were set apart for God's temple and for his use in a holy way. So here's this drunken pagan king, but he promised Daniel if he could interpret the handwriting, he'd be rewarded by being promoted to third in the country and be given a purple robe and a gold chain around his neck. And I found it difficult that Daniel didn't laugh, because he knew that Babylon would be gone by the morning. He knew Belshazzar would be gone by the morning. What kingdom? But he's not like me, fortunately. God can't use me, because I would be out there and saying, you can be dead by tomorrow, you can be dead by tomorrow. But he knew how to play his role. And I thought that was, it really spoke to my heart, because I have a tendency to blab it all out, and I don't need to. You know, let God work. Well, he knew his role, and he was not to belittle the king, but to speak the truth of God. Now, that's really an awesome responsibility. He told the king to keep his gifts, but he would make known to him the handwriting on the wall. Yeah, this was real interesting to me, because I never grew up with the Bible. I had never heard that expression, handwriting on the wall, but I found myself using it a lot. And when you realize it's 2,600 years old, isn't that amazing? We're still using it. So when you get to heaven and you talk to Daniel, just say, hey, you know that expression, the handwriting on the wall? I used it a lot. Well, Daniel reviewed some things with this king because the message was only to the king. And he reviewed his heritage. He was a grandson of King Nebuchadnezzar. So Daniel reminds him how difficult it was to develop humility in Nebuchadnezzar, and how he had to take him aside and have him eat grass like an ox for 7 years, and that all of this to bring him to humility before God. And Belshazzar knew all about it, and he had no humility. And what was the point of him reviewing this? The point of it was to give him an opportunity to repent. God is so good to us, you know, it just amazes me. Well, Daniel rebukes the king's sin, that he had not humbled his heart. So his sin was premeditated, not one of ignorance, or it was simply one of arrogance and defiance. That sometimes comes with power. You know, people live above the law and they expect everybody else to cave to the law. Not so with Belshazzar. Then there was the charge of the profane sacrilege of using these sacred vessels for a drunken party. It just bothers me no end to have to read about that. But he didn't care. That really shows he didn't care. And the third thing he accused him of was toasting to idols that were man-made. When you realize he was toasting to idols that were dead. You know, I wish it said that, because that's exactly what they are when they're made out of gold and silver and stone and wood. I thought the wood ones were pretty good. Those were his gods, and he made clear that those were his gods. And I bet Daniel felt sick, just sick about it. But right there, Daniel said he would interpret the king's message. But we need to remember ourselves that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. We forget that sometimes with elections, don't we? But there's a point behind what he's doing. The point of referring to Nebuchadnezzar's ordeal is that God judged him. So if God judged Nebuchadnezzar, why should he overlook Belshazzar? And that he would be punished too. It's God who holds the breath, our breath, in his hands. And he owns all your ways, and yet you have not glorified him. I thought about that. I thought, when I went into the change, I got asthma. And when that finally went away, I have COPD. So that just is another little... I was looking at all the doctors I have to see soon. One is for this, and one is for that. But the point is, he holds your breath in his hands. Don't lose sight of that. You can just go a step further. He holds your heart in his hands. And it keeps beating, and you keep breathing because of the Lord. He owns all your ways. Now, doesn't that give you some peace and rest? And yet, Belshazzar had not glorified him. Instead, he was worshiping a living God, he was worshiping these dead idols. And I thought that was so sad when you get it spelled out like that. I wanted to get into the many many decal fufarsin. Remember, pH is an F sound. And I don't think there would be anybody in this room if I used the words numbered, weighed, and divided. What would that mean? If it weren't for Daniel telling us what it means, we would never get it. And the message was strictly to Belshazzar. It wasn't to anybody else. And so I think that's why his knees were shaking. And I was thinking, what if he had been, just had an inkling towards God? He could have gotten that whole room on their knees and talked out who God is. But he, of course, wanted to know what it means. Not that he would repent, but anyway, you can see why no one understood it. And we wouldn't understand it either if we didn't have Daniel to interpret it. It says, many refers to numbered, and it's said twice. Belshazzar had been measured, counted, and scrutinized. Wow. And tickle, didn't mean to tickle, but it was weighed. He'd been weighed according to God's standards of righteousness and found to come short. Can you imagine? And ufarsin means divided or halved. And this is a reference to Babylon being divided between the Medes and the Persians. I just found that really interesting little blurb I had taken aside, that it's a little wonder that the Babylonian wise men could find no meaning in this sparse phrase. It was a cryptic code, impossible to make sense out of unless your one had already knew its meaning. Daniel could read it because God had revealed to him the meaning of it. And that's why you and I understand it. Otherwise, even in English, it doesn't mean much. But it was in the common language of Aramaic. You know, it was spoken in that day. So if I had been Belshazzar, I would have not only trembled, but I think I wouldn't, I'd be kneeling down and trying to get right with God. But you remember, Daniel knew the meaning because he had the Holy Spirit, and he could rest in that. Obviously, Belshazzar didn't have much opinion of Daniel, because when he called his wise men together, they were not, he was not included. He wasn't included in the party either, but rightfully so. But Babylon would be destroyed that night. It's just phenomenal. If God wants to bring something down, he brings it down. And they thought that they were really secure because they had these high walls and they were so wide, there's no way anyone could attack them. But you see, they didn't come over the walls. They came under the walls. And that army that was out there near where the water was coming in, they weren't just sitting there drinking water. They were devising a way of getting the water sidetracked so they could come through the water gate and come into Babylon. And you'd think Belshazzar would have checked that out. So, but he never did. Well, that night, that very night, they put him to death. And the prophecies of Jeremiah were fulfilled. If you want to read something about Jeremiah, Jeremiah 50 and 51. And that was prophesied long before this happened. But remember the Colossus statue? It seems like so long ago. We looked at him in our, I think it was the second lesson, where Nebuchadnezzar has that vision where the head is gold and the silver and so on and so on. And my leaders seem to have a fuss over that question, but they weren't thinking. Anyway, the head of gold was now defeated by the chest and arms of silver. And who was that? That was the Medes and the Persians. Babylon was absorbed into the inferior empire of the Medes and Persians. I have a blurb here from Dr. Fulford. He, in fact, he's written a book called Daniel, The Key to Prophecy. So when time goes by, we'll all be arguing. But that's all right, because it hasn't happened yet. You're free to argue. But this is by him. He was the former president of Dallas Seminary. It says, the downfall of Babylon is in type the downfall of the unbelieving world. In many respects, modern civilization is much like ancient Babylon, resplendent with its monuments. I was thinking when I read that, yeah, all those football statues and stuff, and of architectural triumph. You know, they keep building more interesting things. And as secure as human hands of ingenuity could make it, and yet defenseless against the judgment of God at the proper hour. I'm sorry about my voice this morning. It's I know I'm seeing my COPD doctor this week, so it's acting up. Anyway, contemporary civilization is similar to ancient Babylon. Isn't that amazing? 2,600 years ago, and modern civilization is pretty much in the same bag. And if they foster human pride, but do little to provide human security, much as Babylon fell on the 16th day of Tishra, that is either October 11th or 12th, 539 B.C., as indicated by the Nabonidus Chronicle. It's a historian. So the world will be overtaken by disaster when the day of the Lord comes. So I looked that up. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. And actually the rest of that chapter is just phenomenal. Oh, thanks, Katrina. It's not probably going to help, but we'll try. So I think that's a really heavy statement there. You can read the rest of that, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3. It's the disaster of the world, however, does not overtake the child of God. You belong to Christ. Just know that your life is hid in him. Daniel survives the purge and emerges triumphant as one of the presidents of the new kingdom in chapter 6. And I think, well, he's going to get eaten by lions there. How can be that be a good thing? But that's next week's lesson, so you can have some fun with that. Anyway, I like the fact that Jeremiah's prophecy was fulfilled. That encouraged my heart.
Do you know how much before Daniel, Jeremiah?
At least 80 years, and it may be closer to 100. I meant to look that up, but it's just phenomenal when you read it. You think it was written after the fact, but it's not. It's written ahead of time, saying what would happen to Babylon. Well, Babylon had fallen to its enemies. Chapter 4 is the end of Nebuchadnezzar, the builder of Babylon. And chapter 5 is the end of Belshazzar of Babylon. So we now close the door to Babylon. The head of gold on the colossus of Nebuchadnezzar's vision was absorbed into the inferior empire of the Medes and the Persians. And gold then became silver. And of course, when you remember that statue, that vision he had, it really depicts government, how it gets weaker and weaker, and there's some real good thoughts about that, that we cannot look to government to bail us out or look to government to straighten us out. There's only one person that can straighten us out. Having experienced that, best to listen to him. But let's look at some thoughts for today. Don't ever think that God is through with you. Daniel is now in his 80s. And the younger generation, especially today, they just forget about the older generation. But you're not done with. Even if you can't get out of bed, you can certainly be praying for your family, your offspring. They need your prayers. Your country, your president, your livelihood. There's so much to pray about. And if he's got you alive and still here, it's great. I know Charlotte Hunt prayed for me for years. I wouldn't have to go into dialysis. And now she's with the Lord. And miss her. But don't worry too much about fame and fortune, because this world is perishing. Don't neglect passages in Scripture about God's wrath and judgment. These days are not for the faint of heart. Like Daniel, we need strength to stay useful. Oh, I don't feel like it. Oh, I can't get up. Oh, there's too much to do. But you say, Lord, here I am. What do you want me to do today? Wisdom from him to focus on the unseen, and courage to warn our world of the judgment to come. How amazing it is. So Daniel went, and he told the king his sins, and the king didn't behead him. He just simply gave him a robe and a gold chain and third in the country. Well, Daniel knew better, and I like that part. And I'm glad he did it, not me, because I would have told him a thing or two. So, just remember, the disaster of the world does not overtake the child of God. And he's called you, he will get you safely home. And what a joy and a privilege to belong to the Lord Jesus. And I hope you can say that in this new year, that you aren't just reading or doing studies, but that you're taking it to heart, and God is becoming more meaningful to you and more important. You know, we serve a wonderful Savior, and he's got so many things to have you do and learn, and it's always a learning process. I can't get into Scripture without learning something more. He's a wonderful God. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today that cannot call you Savior, that this would be the day they would say no to their own way of living their life and see through Belshazzar what a waste that is, living your own life, doing your own thing. Or Nebuchadnezzar not having any submission towards God, having to be made into an animal for 7 years before he learned humility before God. But God didn't give up with him. And he won't give up with anyone here. How much we need to fall at your feet, Lord, and be reassured by your word, and help us to understand more of what you're revealing to us through the life of Daniel. Lord, I thank you for these lessons, and I thank you for these ladies, and I pray today might be an encouragement to them, that they might lay their troubles at your feet and say, thank you, Lord, you're in charge. What a wonderful thought that is. Bless them, Lord, and we'll simply give us you and all your children the praise, because you are so worthy of it. In your precious name, amen.